right, 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody, and welcome to TYH. My name is Anglo, and with me I have Nike.
Hello.
Hello, Nike. And I guess we have someone else here, too. Micah from the Grillcast. Hello. Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Sorry.
Are you going to say hello?
You're going to introduce yourself.
I told you I walked away to get naked.
Oh, well, now you're back.
Do we restart or we just keep that?
No, we're keeping it in.
What? Oh, are you guys recording me right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
We are hello, recording friends. You naked.
Hello. Hey.
We are recording you in Adam's suit.
Did you introduce me, or were you waiting for me to?
Yeah, I said we have Micah from the Grillcast. Say hello.
Hey, that's me. Hi. Hello.
So, what do you guys think about those defecto craps that are in office right now?
What the fuck are you saying?
Is this a setup for a bad joke?
No, I'm just. My friend told me today that his uncle calls the Democrats the defecto craps.
The defecto.
Oh my god. What are they even defecting from, America?
Like defective.
I honestly like the Demon Crats better. That's my favorite boomer. Boomer.
But it's funny cuz his uncle is like, this is genius. I'm calling them the defecto craps.
I mean, it is, and so much I haven't heard it before. I can appreciate the...
It's his own coining.
Yeah, it's the OC.
Good OC.
nice shit post. Well memed, my friend.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to pick up on that one myself. I'll let him keep it fresh.
Yeah.
If it becomes a part of common parlance, you'll know that it's from him.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
So...
Random boomerism.
Yeah, I love boomerisms.
I could do without them.
We probably only have like 10 years left of them.
And then yeah, I was going to say, we're running short on that well.
You know, I didn't even consider that. I just sort of have the background assumption of...
They'll be here forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
They'll continually have cover bands while we sit and suffer.
Do you think it's going to be one of those things where, you know, they're all dead and then it's like you didn't know what you had till it's gone and we all like dearly miss them and post about how much we loved boomers. Like it'll be like George Bush after he got out of out of the presidency, how everybody, you know, loved him again.
The thing we didn't know we had till it's gone is the intergenerational wealth that was supposed to comprise our inheritance.
What's an inheritance? I ain't got one.
Me neither.
But
I do.
I think we recorded like 2 months ago. We have some comments from the last episode. Can you go start them, Nike? Because I can't find the right window.
C. Kyle says, hello, Nike. And I tell him, hello, Kyle.
Classic.
Our friend Zoomerman says, Zoomer's eternal.
That might not be good, because doesn't Eternal have bad vibes?
No. Heaven's Eternal. That's got pretty chill vibes.
So, when you say Eternal Anglo, that means it's good. We're good.
It's contextual, for sure. I think if the word Eternal comes after the... group you're describing, it's a good thing. But if it's before, it's bad. That's the connotation in practice.
Yeah, if it's like a preceding adjective, it's no good.
But we have High Chief, this is the next comment, High Chief Vercingetorix Eternal. He says, this is for Anglo. This always happens. Enjoy your food. Thanks, you too. Oh, what is he referencing?
Talking to a waiter.
Oh, and how sometimes I've said, like, you too, like...
Yeah, to somebody who's not about...
Enjoy your meal. .exe.
Well, you have to figure they're going to eat eventually, so you know, it counts for that.
We have
don't Zoomerman. Get hung up on like just the awkwardness of like mundane throwaway conversation.
Yeah, people sometimes do get like they have that neurotic tendency to focus on like, oh my god, wasn't that awkward what I just said with the waiter? I mean,
with the guy who's not paid enough to pay attention.
Yeah, someone who literally forgot what you said right after it went through his like linguistic processing part of his brain, you know.
Well, not only that, but he sees you and every other person that he deals with during the day as the exact same interaction.
Yeah.
It's all just blended together.
So really, it's not just you who's the awkward one. It's everybody that person
it's ran society.
Into. Awkwardness eternal.
Yeah. I'm not awkward.
Yeah, society. He's awkward. Yes.
The next comment is from Zoomerman again. Gauls were indeed of a more savage nature.
Maybe at one point. I don't know if it's really true anymore.
Yikes, that seems kind of racist.
Yeah.
Is it? Well, let's take it back then.
You have a lot of gall to say that.
Yeah, I don't want to be racist against French people.
Really?
I know they can't take it. Yeah, no, they don't really like it when you're racist against them. They take it very personally. And
yeah,
they really eat them up inside.
But they could talk shit about other people.
Well, yeah, that's a coping mechanism.
Anyways, going on to H.P. Hovercraft himself. The idea of the wooden clogs is that your feet are kept well above the mud and dry, which doesn't work with leather shoes.
Hmm.
Why not?
I know.
What, just
make
damage to the leather, I guess?
Just add higher platforms to your leather shoes.
Yeah, the whole shoe does not have to be wood. I'm not convinced. Like,
wooden shoes.
Was that supposed to be some big own? Oh, yeah, wooden shoes is when you mix up your Holocaust denial fact, like wooden doors and pile of shoes. You know, when they round up all those Dutch Jews, all they had was a pile of wooden shoes.
You know, I always assumed as a child that those were strictly like decorative pieces. And when I heard you guys talking about it, I was like, there's no actual way.
Well, yeah, growing up,
there's a practical application for these.
No, I think those people actually wear them.
Yeah, growing up, my family had some decorative wooden shoes on the wall. Straight from Holland. We even went, when we visited the Netherlands, we went to a wooden shoe factory. I think. No, it was a cheese. I forgot what it was.
What?
I think they made both. I think it was like they made cheese and wooden shoes. Unless I'm tripping. Wow.
The combination wooden shoe cheese factory.
That's like the next level after combination Pizza Hut, yeah. Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Or then
I mean, I was very little. I just remember I remember seeing people making cheese, but I also remember seeing people making wooden shoes. I don't know if those were two
maybe one of those things is just like
in the same day, bro.
Maybe one of those things is just something that people there in Holland do like everywhere. Like habitually, you know.
Yeah, like they make the shoes for fun in their spare time, but they're
it's
nectary.
It was like
I could see that.
Okay, so thinking back, I think we went to a separate place for the wooden shoes, and then, but the cheese factory it was like some family's house, kind of. It was like a small family operation. It was kind of cool seeing them. You know, they showed us around. We got some free cheese. We tried some Gouda cheese, which is, I think, how they say it.
How the fuck do you say that?
Yeah. And it smelled very bad. It was not. We also saw where Van Gogh or Van painted some tulips and windmills and cut his ear off. Actually, I don't know where he did that. I know he also spent time in Paris or something. So, but anyways, let's go on to the next comment. Zoomerman. The reason why they call it Gen Z and Generation Alpha is because Generation Z is the last generation who had any connection at all with the real old real world. Sorry, I don't have my glasses on. At all with the old world. Generation Alpha is the start of the new world order generation.
I'm going to need a source on that.
I think that's way... That's like... Boomers.
Big if true.
Big.
Like Zoomers are the last true non-Zog like generation.
YouTube Shorts and like YouTube Cincy Kids Hypno. And TikTok monoculture is going to make it a lot less attached than you think it would be.
Mm. Shit, dude! Even for millennials,
growing up on YouTube Kids,
even for millennials and Gen Xers, they're pretty absorbed at this point.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, my uncle was born. The
cultural gaps just...
We've got these fucking balding idiots who use TikTok, and I'm like, dude.
Yeah, you got dudes who are like 50-something doing it.
And you're like, what age is this is inappropriate for you?
I'm just thinking about my uncle. He was born in like, what, 1971? And he wears like...
Snapbacks?
No, he wears... He's like a nerd, like a buck man. He wears like Angry Birds clothes. Like,
no.
So he's autistic.
He's his own thing. Let's just say that.
Okay.
He's special.
He's not like those other boys. Those other.
No.
50-year-olds.
Nope.
He's hipping with it. He's got the Angry Birds t-shirt.
Yeah. And Star Wars. T-shirts, but that's kind of that's kind of innocuous, I guess. Now.
Isn't it quaint that Angry Birds is a dated reference now?
That is funny.
Yeah.
Did you I wonder if people ever had Temple Run shirts? I don't think people did. I guess.
I never saw that.
I guess Angry Birds is more impactful.
It's got more marketable material.
And it's from Finland, isn't it? Am I tripping? Sorry, I'm talking like an African American.
I believe so.
And that's Nokia, right? Nokia is also from Finland.
Mm-hmm.
What else is from Finland?
Finns.
I'm thinking of some like big cultural product for nowadays. Well, Linus Torvalds, he's a Swedish Finn, the guy who created the Linux kernel. He's a Swede. Like, you know, we all know about that. Well, I guess maybe not everyone does, but it's probably not general knowledge in the United States, but there is, you know, the Swedish minority in Finland.
Which is
their most well behaved minority.
Yes. I don't know if this is whatever true, but don't people kind of consider them like the Jews of Finland?
What?
Which I would take offense to.
You're asking the wrong person.
That may have been something I heard on Radio Free Skyrim like 7 years ago, however long ago that was.
The quote was behind every Jew is a Swede.
Yeah, there's that one, but then there's also, like, I don't know. Well, it's because they are a minority, they speak a different language, and they're kind of more, I guess, I wouldn't say aristocratic, but you know what I mean? More like, you know, compared to the Finno-Ugric Asiatic hordes of Finland.
I don't know. I don't know that I would make that that connection. I mean, I don't think a lot of people... Troll. I don't think a lot of rich people trust hiding their money with both those groups equally.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe more in the cultural sense of like a cultural elite kind of detached from the...
Mm.
But that's just basically any cultural elite. Like you have the upper classes in England, Normans, I think primarily of Norman descent. But anyways, going on to the reply to that comment. We have Verzenja Torhi again. Generation Zyklon will be the torchbearers. Of what? Of what? That's what I have to say.
Of what?
Of what?
We'll see.
Of,
these nuts.
Of, like, trans flags. They weren't... No, they're flag bearers. Trans flag bearers.
I give them more credit for their, you know, the actual real splits in their political outlooks, but
Well, you're a Zoomer. Yeah. Why are you saying you?
Me being included.
Are you a Zoomer?
Yeah.
I thought the cutoff was like 95, 96.
Yeah. I'm within the cutoff.
Okay.
He's a young nigga. I'm at the cusp. It's like when people are talking about their astrological signs. I'm at the cusp of Gemini and whatever the fuck comes after Gemini.
I don't know.
Gemini, Cancer.
I don't know if it's fair to call us young. I mean, people our age are balding and, you know.
No, I don't think we're young.
Having kids.
But I'd say relative to me. He's like 6 months younger than me.
Oh, man, you're old as shit.
I'm like 26 and three quarters. Actually, I'm probably way older than that. I don't know how old I am.
Yeah, you're three quarters older than me, old man, and grandpa.
I'm getting old as fuck. I wonder how old Tam is. And he writes
slow down.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
Don't interrupt the host, anyways. Tam says, Generation Z man.
Then he says, Mossad be straight bussin' for real. Trevor Show says, no cap.
No cap, indeed.
Yeah, well, at the cafe I go to almost every day to get coffee and do some work, there are a lot of Zoomers that work there, and they do actually say, let's go, like, all the time. That is true that Zoomers do say that.
Finna?
And they say, I'm a finna eat this fucking cupcake right up. That bitch finna look fine.
On God?
Yeah. And I also hear him sometimes talk about,
I appreciate
like,
that.
YouTube people. All these YouTube references of, like, these gaming channels. But yeah, dude, that fucking coffee is straight bussin'. Tastes like fucking coffee beans and...
It's definitely the worst word.
It's that one. Awesome.
It's kind of mid. Anyway. We're going back to Vercingetorix. Do you older Zoomers, 1998 here, remember addicting games for free Flash games online? Feudalism and Feudalism 2 were my jam.
I loved addicting games. It was really good until Nickelodeon purchased the website.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did. Like, after it like, sort of started to suck, they were bought out, but...
Yeah, I personally didn't go on that website. I don't know if it's because you guys are 98 kids or whatever, or you're not, EK, but... But I knew about it. But I didn't know Nickelodeon bought that. I just remember...
It was like the first Flash game website.
Yeah, it was a school library classic.
Yeah. Well, the classic in my school library was the Halo demo.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. And it was also in computer lab. We would play against the teacher. He was like some Canadian.
Really? What?
Yeah. Our computer class was basically just going on the internet and playing games. We didn't learn shit. That's kind of fine because we already knew how to use computers because we're like born in the 90s.
Right.
But yeah, there would be competitions in middle school between the teacher and the students. Like legit competition. Well, not legit, but you know what I mean. Like they, after school hours, this, I'm guessing at the time he was like 40 year old Canadian guy just totally owning all these 12 year old noobs. It was a very odd fit having a Canadian teacher in my environment when there were a lot of minorities and he's like ultra white and nerdy. I don't know. It's kind of funny.
But that's fitting for your computer class teacher.
It is. It's fitting for a computer class, but the students were very diverse. And it was just funny seeing him interact with like, hey, how you do this on a computer? How you install?
Yeah, I remember in high school you'd get the distinct feeling that most of the teachers wanted to kill themselves.
yeah, there was a
and
man.
to the point where you could hear like audible heavy sighing, like just regularly.
You could hear like some muffled screaming.
Just
do that. Oh, you know what? I remember that too.
And I think that's honestly unfair. You know, I think that's unfair. I think those teachers really need to give everybody, you know, the benefit of the doubt, you know, consider the environment, you know, that all the different kids are coming from and, you know, the harshness of life they're experiencing. And, you know, that's what you're being paid to do is teach, you know, you're not being paid to sit there and gripe and groan about the circumstances of your job. Okay.
For that same computer class, there was
this point. You know, for all the education jobs you can have out there, computer teachers really not that hard. So like,
yeah.
I don't feel bad saying get over it.
In that same computer class, we had a sub that I think he was like the second computer teacher for the different periods. But when our computer teacher was gone, he would sub for him or something. He was totally autistic and he would get kind of bullied by the kids. I remember one time, because I was nice then, it's kind of changed. I guess I'm still nice. But, you know, I was just talking to him and he was showing me like the cars that he wants to buy. And he was like really into smart cars.
Oh man.
And he was talking to me about these little smart cars for like 15 minutes. And I just wanted to get out of there. Like the period was about to end. I got to go to fucking Algebra 1. And this dude is talking my ear off about smart cars. And it was just kind of, I was slightly sad because he probably hasn't really talked to anyone, or he hadn't at that time. Probably has by then. But
do you still keep in touch with him?
Hell no. He was one smart weird ass nigga.
Did you buy a smart car?
No. I wonder if he did.
Oh.
Yeah, I think he would like the kids would kind of bully him a little bit. It's kind of,
I mean, rightfully so.
I mean, just like if you're like 40 years old and you let kids bully you, I don't know.
I mean, you can be bullied as long as you need to be bullied. I mean, I don't believe that there is a cutoff for, you know, when you can and can't be bullied or should and shouldn't be bullied. Bullying is how we order society.
And it's infinite. Bullying eternal.
Bullying eternal.
So,
there you go.
It's okay.
Back to the comments. Yeah, Superman says, I used to play them Flash games a lot when I was younger. And Sir Leon says, now that's a name I haven't heard in a long time. There are others like Cool Math Games, Newgrounds, Miniclip,
yeah,
and more. Uh-huh. I used to play them during elementary and middle school. Fun times indeed. Yeah, I think my favorite was definitely Armor Games.
Oh, yes.
But Miniclip and Newgrounds, also really good.
Yeah.
But the top tier games were always on Armor Games. And then Kongregate came along. I never really got into it until I was really bored in college. I would play Kongregate games because like, they had new stuff uploaded by just amateur game designers all the time. So if you wanted something just novel, just see if it was good or not. That's what Kongregate was good for.
I actually haven't heard of that.
No, me neither.
It sounds very different, like not my generation. The 6 months older than your generation.
The six months older than your generation.
Would you like to continue there?
Yeah, let me switch to tabs because I don't have my glasses and you get this closer to my eyes. I'm like really getting old. Okay, let me zoom it in 250%. There we go. Zoomerman says, again, he always comments a lot and I respect him for that. He's on the grind. This podcast be bussin' for real on God.
Worked up white boys goated with the sauce.
And then kind of one of the
young whites.
I'm ignoring those words coming out of your guys' mouths. High Chief Vercingetorix says, instead of saying bro or bruh, I call people chief. I don't like that one. That one's bad. Sorry, dude. I know you're not like American. I think you're from like the Netherlands. Just say whatever. Say nigga because that's funny. especially if you're not
in the Netherlands.
Yeah. Or just say, like, speak your fucking language instead of being Americanized. Sorry.
Hey, man.
Oh.
And then Zoomerman says, I usually say dude. And that's cool, dude, because that's what I say if I'm in a casual conversation.
But then he says that I and Rolo sound the same. Which,
I guess, yeah, you kind of, if you're not paying attention, I guess you could kind of maybe, you know, hear it a little bit if you got something in your ears. And then
Micah, you said you listened to the last episode.
That was like 7 months ago. Remember that?
Yeah, that was like.
Well, did I sound like the guest we had on?
Actually, yeah, a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah, damn. I do remember that. And I do remember reading that in the comments.
And then he replies, Rolo Tomasi himself says, that's why I requested to be on the show.
Hmm.
Then the High Chief himself says, we need more stories about Anklo's roommate's Vietnamese meth dealer.
I don't really have...
with more meth dealing tales.
He didn't actually sell meth because he was like a total fucking nerd. I don't really have many stories about him. He was just, his mom, this people are going to get, let's just say his mom was good looking. She looked like she was like in her mid twenties or something. She wasn't, obviously, but she looked very young. And it was kind of like weird going to his house and his mom looks like his sister, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he had a stepdad that was like this big buff fucking Korean dude. It was kind of funny. Because it's you don't really see buff Koreans. Usually kind of like sticks.
I mean, only if you're not looking for them.
Yeah. But that's... I don't have anything in particular. I just remember, like, this was way back in the day. This was, like, when Trump was getting elected. And I basically, like, broke off. Like, I was kind of shunned from the friend group because I said I voted for Trump. I think I said that. And you're like, oh, you're trolling, right? Because I was known as the troll. I'm like, nah. And then we kind of parted our ways.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah.
They felt strongly in a particular
friends.
Yeah.
No, it was good because I just hung out.
So that's so just I know I used the word earlier and you were confused by it, but that is what a wing cuck is, right there. You're those friends of yours who
cut
you out.
Honestly, I didn't really consider them like friends or just people that were in the same classes as me. And they were there all the time, like around the same environment. So it's like,
right. But they disassociated.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was glad
because of that
fucking anime.
And that makes them wing cucks.
Yeah. Fuck wing cucks. We have a serf, a peasant commenting on our patrician podcast. I haven't listened to the episode yet, but judging from this comment section, it seems like it's going to be a bussin' good time. That was goated, bust, and on God. And then Nike himself writes, quirked up young whites boy with a little bit of swag, busting it down, sexual style, goated with the sauce.
How could you?
How? Disinvite me from your wedding, Nike?
Wedding?
Whenever he has one. I don't even know if he's dating anyone, but I'm just saying. Just disinvite me from your life. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. I love you. I love Nikkei. And then white presenting Sicilian says, he's quoting me, only Nordics can have opinions, says the German guy who calls himself Angelo. You got it. You can't let your enemies know who you are and what you are. You got to kind of stay on your tippy toes. Got to
keep them guessing.
Very
true.
Because very true. I'm not really even German, am I? I'm like, my dad's fucking Swedish, right? My mom's German Anglo. What are you going to do about that? What am I? Maybe I'm just an American mutt.
Merrimut.
But it's a 56%. Germanic.
56%.
At least I don't have like extra like Slavic or something in there or something like that.
Oh.
I mean, you might. Are you Slavic?
No.
Okay.
No.
Or Italian or Irish, you know, something like that. Then Jay Parker says, this is in reference to the sort of unfortunate thing that I admitted last podcast is that I didn't know the difference between left and right until I was like pretty old.
What?
I said it! Left and right gave me... That was hard for me.
You mean like...
Knowing...
You mean like political distinction, like
no,
left and right, not
left
like...
Left and right, like left. That
what
guy
the fuck
left.
Do you mean?
I just remember like people talking about left and right. I didn't know what which was which. I had to do the mnemonic device, I guess you could call it that, where you put your hand up and your left hand makes an L when you put your hands out in front of you. You're like doing a push.
Holy shit, it does.
Yeah, that's how I learned. And I remember that. Maybe I just have a good memory from being like 3 years old, but I don't know.
Well, then how do you discern? Okay, so how did,
but
what
I,
was your signal for what was right?
That it wasn't the L.
Oh, okay.
It was not.
He had an apophatic system. The only way he can understand what's right is what isn't left.
Yeah.
Man.
But anyways, Jay Parker says, holy shit, as a fellow Anglo, I totally felt that left-hand, right-hand problem. Problem. Which was...
Problem. I guess you also have a spelling problem as well.
Which was weird considering how right-dominant I was. Not anymore. Did the same hand things as well. Then the soy hands.
The Zoomer man comes in with some hot bants. Did you know that there's a tribe in Africa that can't distinguish between left and right? I have bad news for Anglo bros.
Oh, this is a very... No, there's no... I will not respond to that because that is divisive to the movement, and he's... like from China or something like that, so it doesn't even... Anyways, Icosphere has a very relevant comment to our generational discussions that we were having earlier. Intergenerational, because I'm very old. I knew it! I knew you were a phony! You'll see Nikkei coming to NJP, balding, wearing a Class of 2007 shirt, talking about the Fortnites and the young people dances. I bet he doesn't even know Zam.
Oof.
Zam is just nigga slang.
Been called out as a hack fraud.
Well, this is going back to the last episode. Roel Tomasi said this. Zoomer slang is just basically talking like a Negro.
Mm.
And it is tragic.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There is.
What about the cultural appropriation, Micah?
I mean, that's a fair argument, but it's okay to culturally appropriate things that, as long as you're having fun. And the other party consents.
Well, that's
very compelling.
Yeah, like,
thank you.
I like doing crack, and my justification is it's fun. I just kind of like live, laugh, love.
Yes,
smoke that.
Doesn't
crack.
Hurt anybody.
No, it can hurt other people, but as long as they can.
But I'm having fun though.
Look, they try to make.
As long as you keep it in the bedroom, that's.
The fucking boomer libertarian argument.
You know, they try to make you think that that's a bad thing.
Boofing crack is okay as long as you do it in your bedroom.
The economy.
And that's actually something that
probably
a dilemma that came up on our show at one point as we were pondering that whole question of, you know, keep it in the bedroom is, you know, the problem of homelessness. And it's like, okay, so are these people not allowed all these particular freedoms due to their current living situation?
We had to think
about that. Yeah,
the whole outside world is their bedroom.
We've based rights on property ownership before. So
yeah. Yeah, that's basically what we...
There's a precedent for it.
I mean, they enjoy their own particular freedoms. You know, being homeless comes with a lot of advantages itself, so...
Well, yeah, like my brother told me he saw a homeless woman just like take off her clothes and take a shit on them in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And this is not even a joke. This happened like 2 weeks ago.
People just hand you money and cigarettes.
And she started spreading her vagina.
You're never going to get arrested for anything? Like,
yeah, like if I were to spread my vagina, I'd get arrested, dude.
Oh.
Okay, sorry.
As you should be.
But that is true. Like, I think my brother said there were like cops like in the nearby and they could have totally stopped it. But
yeah. The whole point of that, like, discussion, I mean, not the whole point, but the end the kind of determination we came up with is that, you know, it's just, it's an ascended lifestyle.
Kind of is. I mean, because ultimately that's what Terry Davis, he ascended to that, like, homeless
it's lifestyle. You don't need these rights anymore, you know, to be exercised in the bedroom.
Rights. You
know, because you've ascended above that.
It's enlightenment era bullshit. Homelessness is the future. Nomadic Aryanism on the streets. Fluffy says,
even like Diogenes.
Yes. And Gigi Allen. Fluffy says, if y'all keep going much longer, you won't be able to use the young whites anymore. Are y'all even Zoomers?
Yikes.
I told you it's TYH, but Nikkei insists on young, on maintaining the young whites reference or usage.
Well, I mean, play off of them. Have they changed from being the Young Turks? Or
no, they're still Turkish.
I can still smell it. They are definitely Turkish. The new Turk is the fucking Hassan guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's been the new Turk for like the past 2 years.
Not for long, though. Not after the Candyman gets his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is related to Cenk Uygur, actually.
Cenk Uygur.
I don't even want to, like, pay... I don't even want to pay any respects to, like, Turkish phonology. I'm just going to say whatever I want. It's Cenk Uygur. Yeah, there you go.
Cenk Uygur.
We're not going to do any of this, like, it's actually Cenk Uygur. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
He likes to say it's Cenk.
Sorry, I'm being vulgar.
That's the letter C, sir. You don't get to change what that letter means.
I'm very vulgar. I've been cursing a lot. Sorry. Sumka Scythian says, reminder that Khomeini was a proto-podcaster. Ayatollah Khomeini, as we say here. He smuggled tapes of his sermons/lectures into Iran from exile before winning bigly. Keep up the good work, Nikkei and friends. White Jamahiriya stays winning. So I'm just friends.
I guess you are. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to be, though.
No. Five of Swords. I have always heard it was pronounced Vercing Torix. Hard G. Who cares? No, I'm just kidding. It might be. I was just copying what my French teacher. She would say, Versingetorix. And that's how I, whenever I see that fucking word, because that's the first time I heard it. Because, well, I was in like my French class. Not the first time like I heard it spoken, I should say. Sumka Scythian says, Fred Olsen Ray posting. This is why Rollo is the goat. He also likes schlock media. What about slurp media? Schlurp. I don't know what that is. Fred Olsen Ray is an American film producer, director, and screenwriter of more than 200 low to medium budget feature films. Sounds kind of gay.
I probably won't watch any of them.
Schlurp Media.
Then J. Ed says, I can say as a real Anglo that what really gets to me about the impressions is that none of you have the correct licenses.
We'll keep licenses. It that way. We've got constitutional impressions. It's the First Amendment.
We got the Constitution. You don't have that in England. So fuck
that's me. Right.
So.
No queen have an ass.
I think there were a few things we want to talk about. But before we do that, I want to talk about a weird experience I had like 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
I was out at a cafe doing some work. And some... two women, like in their 20s and a little child, they came up to me in kind of nice clothes, but it was like kind of gaudy, like Von Dutch style. You know what I'm talking about?
No, but keep
going. Anyways, they came up to me and they started speaking. I'm like in the middle of doing my work and they like interrupt me and they're like, hello, we are poor family. We have no food. Can you please give us money for food? And I see that they're like, dressed very...
Oh, no. You ran into gypsies.
Yeah.
There's no way.
And Yeah, I'm like, right away I knew they were gypsies because the way they were dressed and the way they spoke was obviously some sort of, you know, Eastern European sounding accent, but they weren't Eastern Europeans. They were obviously gypsies by the brown tone of their skin. And that's the first time I ever seen gypsies in the United States. And they went straight up to me. The first person in the cafe they went up to was me to ask for money. And I said no, obviously, in a very kind of like, get the fuck out of my way manner. And she got so pissed off. She's like, look at you. Look at your shoes. Look at your computer. You can give us money. Fuck. And she just went away. She didn't say fuck you, but basically she said that. But here's the thing. I was on a like 10-year-old ThinkPad that's worth like $30. And I have fucking bootleg Converse. They're not even real Converse. They don't have.
You think if you offered her those things, she would have like complained about it? Like,
yeah, exactly. She'd be like, oh, this is not real. It has no logo. It has no logo. It is not real cash, Converse.
Give cash.
Give us money. And
God.
Yeah, because I, you know, and she was also pointing at my clothes too. I'm like, I'm wearing a Gildan shirt. Those are like $5, like a black Gildan shirt. And I'm wearing Dickie's pants. $25 right there. And she's wearing like Von Dutch and it has like all these like bedazzled fucking things on it. And get away from
like, why don't you give me money?
Yeah.
You should have asked her in like disbelief, like, are you a gypsy?
Yeah.
Are you?
Wait.
Like, for real?
Well, I was gobsmacked. I didn't really know what to do because I'm like, why are there gypsies here? I've never seen them here. I've seen them in Germany and stuff. But I never seen them here. Like, what the? It was weird. And they were totally gypsies. There was no way they weren't.
Just call out to the rest of the people in the surrounding area. Hey, guys, check this out.
Gypsies.
Real live gypsies.
Right real here. Nomads originally from northern India. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Whoa.
And they went up to like all the different tables and they were begging for stuff. And I don't know if anyone gave them anything.
I hope not.
It was a surreal moment.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Gypsies in America.
Gypsies in America. There was once, like 5 years ago or maybe even more, there was a show about, it was like a reality TV show about gypsies living in America. And
And
they lived in like Kentucky.
Like TLC.
Yeah, it was on TLC. Yep.
Of course it was.
It was like kind of inspired by the Breaking Amish type stuff, but it's like.
We'll put fucking anything on TLC. All right, we've collected 12 people with Down syndrome. Let's just film them all day and deliver the content to the the unwashed masses.
Yeah, but that's about it. What else did you guys? There was something you had in mind, right? Somewhat, one of you guys, Nikkei.
Well, yeah. You wanted to talk about this new film.
Oh yeah, have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
I've heard about it. I haven't seen it.
Well, yeah. What is the film, my friend?
Well, essentially, it's a historical rendition of events regarding the African nation of Dahomey.
Like, yo, Dahomey, right here.
Yeah, Dahomey. Yeah. And that's all fine and good. Okay, I don't mind these kind of like feel good about my people movies. I mean, you know, white people just had Top Gun, so I think it's fair
for the homies,
African community. Yeah, for the homies to get theirs. I was just a little bit bothered that I think it should be brought to your attention how like. Basically what they did, if you look at the history of events, the whole conflict the movie is based upon, it essentially surrounds the issue of like French protectorate, tribes being raided and enslaved, by the, what the, you know, the movie's focusing on, the group that the movie's focusing on. And, they kind of just conveniently leave all that information out, that basically the French in this situation were not the aggressors. I mean, it's just very like it's just annoying because it's like, you should embrace the fact. You should, I mean, if your people were a people of, you know, domineers, of enslavers and raiders and conquerors, you know, you should just own it. Just own it. You know, you don't have to feel bad. Okay. Like, it's cool. All right. You have your, and the other focus of the movie is like, they're Amazons. Like, they had these like black female, that it was female warriors. But yeah, it was just very
Amazon.
I thought it was just very sad. I think there's a lot lost by not, you know, informing the moviegoers that, yeah, like, yeah, these girls, they get it done. Okay. They'd be out here enslaving people. All right. And killing people and taking names and, you know, doing what they're doing what you want them to do. You know,
are they living their best life?
Yeah.
Are they having fun?
They were. And
so this was a documentary, or is it a movie?
No, it's like a movie. It's movie, like an movie, action.
But yeah, I guess that would make sense.
It's, yeah,
given the hints you kind of said.
And it's yeah, it's like female empowerment, African empowerment.
Yeah, well, the whole.
But like all the most powerful aspects of the tribe are taken away from them. Like I said, the fact that they enslaved people, the fact that they raided and killed other tribes. The only thing that they give them in the movie is, oh, they defeat the French. Like, that's not, you know. Oh, okay. You defeated colonial era Frenchmen. Ooh. And yeah, I mean, big fucking whoop.
Yeah, and it was probably like a very, I assume, like a glorious moment in the movie, because the whole thing now, like decolonial discourse is that dominates pretty much.
Well, and that's the other piece of it, is it's kind of like a kill Whitey, you know, unfest. And, you know, leaving out the fact that Whitey was literally only there to protect, you know, to protect the tribes that they had like economic alignments with or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's a whole thing that's going on right now. And it's there's such a, I don't know the thing that really blows my mind is I've been made aware of multiple people who's like saw the trailer for this movie and thought it was Black Panther. Which I don't know if you're familiar
with that. It's got the same vibe. I never saw Black Panther, but of course I kind of knew about it.
But I had that thought, like, this might as well be a prequel to Black Panther. Like, you get to the end of that movie and then they drive out the French, and which isn't what happens in real life, obviously. There's a disclaimer at the end of the movie that's like, this is fiction, etc. No, because the French defeat them in, you know, historical events. But in the movie, they drive them out and it's a happy ending, etc. And you might as well have tacked on at the end there. And then Wakanda was established in the long line of Amazon warriors, henceforth.
The whole thing is just, mainstream media is promoting the whole decolonial, anti-colonial stuff. I guess decolonial is more of like a philosophical school. I don't know, but like the whole anti-colonial, like, worst thing that's ever happened in the world is colonialism. And they're sifting through the history of all the various European nations and trying to find like, oh, gotcha, you were a colonialist here. Like in the case of Germany, they have the whole thing that they did like in Namibia and stuff like that with the Hereros. And like, they're like pushing that on the sort of like, mainstream German stuff, or like, I've seen it like on this, there's this called Deutsche Welle. There's like this kind of like, total like bullshit news source. I think it's mostly used by foreigners who are trying to learn German, but it's the whole thing of like, look at Germans. You also have blood on your hands. You guys also engaged in the Euro colonial empire mindset, imperialist mindset, you know, and it's like they're searching everything. And there's also the whole thing of like, people are talking about like, we got to decolonize Russia. I saw a video of like these anarchist hipsters in like London talking about decolonizing Russia and all that stuff by using American imperialism. But anyways,
sorry. Yeah, I just think it's embarrassing the lengths that they will go to to shelter certain groups from their own history.
Yeah, and like you said, it could be kind of like an awesome, like kind of cool part of their history. Like, they were powerful.
It is cool.
And they have this kind of false notion that African
slavery is cool. That's why so many people did it.
Yes, yeah, that's what I've been saying for. I've been saying that for years. Thank you for like putting words to my feelings.
It's a very centrist institution. I'm saying,
but they portray like Africa as just like kind of just one, like it was one entity, and they were all Africa was just filled of just these beautiful, pure, you know, black people who were just taken advantage of when it was just like nation. They're like different tribes fighting each other, and there's a lot of stuff in their history that's totally whitewashed and kind of.
That's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah, because they didn't view themselves as like a united whole. I don't know, but like, yeah, like they're. I don't know. It's just white. No, bad.
I just thought it was ironic calling African history whitewash, but it
yeah, But in a way, it kind of is because the main reference point still is like colonialism in a weird way.
Niki, I miss your voice. Can you say something?
Yeah, I've got the got
these the nuts out
here for the first Franco-Dahomian War.
Yeah,
Dahomian.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that. So, divulge the facts. Source
is Wikipedia.
Source code.
In the first war, the Dahomians had over 8,000 fallen troops, and the fallen French homes. Came with, let's just say, 760 French troops and 500 soldiers from Porto Novo. And that when everything was all said and done, 1,000 to 2,000 Dahomians were killed, and 16 Frenchmen were killed.
Mogged.
Absolutely death mogged.
How do you spell Dahomians? Dahomians?
83 French were wounded, they say.
And the cause of the war, it says there. I'm pretty sure it was something to do with like the French protecting their tribal allegiances or something.
Yeah, the result was a French victory. Dahomey recognizes Porto Novo as a French protectorate and gives up customs rights to Cotolu in exchange for yearly payment.
How do you spell this ethnic group? How do you spell it?
D-A-H-O-M-E-Y?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Dahomey.
The second Franco-Dahomian War went a little bit like this, with 8,800 regular troops and 1,200 Amazon warriors on the side of Dahomey.
The French
coming with just over 2,100 of their own soldiers and 26.
Why you gotta do Dahomey like that?
Porto Novo soldiers. And the casualties from Dahomey ranged from about 2,000 to 4,000. And on the French, they're about 85. Another 205 people died of disease.
And it's like you were saying too, they do a lot of the anti-colonial media, whitey bad.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know, to me, I don't have a problem with whitey bad. Okay. There's plenty of, there's plenty of whitey bad. This is just a very bad example. Like if you're going to do a whitey bad movie, this is terrible source material for whitey bad.
Like remember that time you got they absolutely have to, wrecked.
Like, well, no, yeah. Not just that, but the reason like behind the conflict, the reason behind, you know, the whitey homies. Fighting the homies, you know, is that they're literally trying to stop them from enslaving people and, you know, and killing them.
Now, is this ever made known?
No, in the film? No. Yeah. Absolutely not.
To what extent is slavery? Well, I gotta do the homies
dirty like that.
I couldn't tell you. I've only seen bits and pieces of it, but there's no way in fuck that it's, you know, it's covered in a way where people would be illuminated to the true nature of what was going on. because it's not supposed to be that kind of movie. It's just supposed to make a certain demographic feel nice. And that's fine, but not when you have to lie. I don't like that. Okay? Lying is bad.
So okay. apparently there was a, let's see, like a play, kind of like Broadway play, but in London, whatever they call it there. There was a play called In Da Homie. And there's like a little poster. It's kind of funny. It's just a bunch of like blacks in the kind of Pickaninny style dancing around a cake. It says In Da Homie.
So they just had their opening weekend, and it appears they've grossed $19 million in the box office.
Wow.
It says that of the opening weekend audience, 60% was female.
Whoa!
58% was over the age of 35, and 59% was African American.
Slay!
That's for this play?
What was the...
No. It's for the Woman King.
Oh.
What? Wait, what was the percentage of coloreds again?
Oh, 59.
What the fuck? 59. Yeah, I mean... I know the homies be hard. I don't know why they had to do them dirty like that, make them seem like they sus and weak. I don't think blacks say sus. That's
so it's basically like, okay, the French attack, African tribe, women of African tribe absolutely dunk on the French the day is
saved. By doing like pre-calculus.
Yeah.
Like in whatever that movie was called.
The Hidden Figures.
By being powerful and independent and strong.
Now, would you say that this portrayal is an exercise in girl bossery of a woman who can't be told no, owning her own story?
No.
No, just lies.
Just
succinct.
Just lies. I mean, just complete fakery.
Now, do you intend to see this for yourself?
I was thinking about it, yeah. I was thinking about watching it. Just to get the full impact of, you know, how gross this is.
Speaking of gross, this one sentence in the Wikipedia article has completely caught me off guard. It's under the filming subsection, and it says, for a sequence in which a character is remembering a sexual assault, Prince Blythewood, which is a hyphenated last name, one of the actors, referenced Christine Balsey Ford's testimony at Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination hearing and asked the actress to read the Roxane Gay book Hunger, a memoir about gays rape.
Well, look at
Jesus
this.
Christ.
This is related to the homies. There was an empire related to this whole thing called the Oyo Empire.
Yo!
Oh, yo! Yo! Oh, yo!
Oh, yo! Yeah. Where the homies at?
Oh, yo! Where the homies at? Dude, I bet you there's got to be some sort of, black intellectual who's like, you know the term yo? Where'd that come from? That come from the Oyo Empire. That's where we're from. And you know the homie, that nigga's my homie, right? We say that to each other. That's where it come from. That's our tribe.
The African kingdom of the homie.
But isn't like homie originally some, it's like Latino, huh?
Is it?
Maybe not, I don't know.
I'm not very cultured.
Shorthand for homeboy.
Who let the dogs out?
The audience can't hear it really because I'm muting, but now they can. Oh. The Baja Men.
Man. That's a throwback reference.
Yo, am I tripping? Okay, I'm starting to talk like a Zoomer. I'm like cursing in this podcast. I'm talking like a
boys,
Zoomer.
Boys, am I tripping?
Boys, do I indeed be tripping? Didn't the Baja Men they do like a Who Let the Dogs Out version for some Rugrats movie? I don't know why that came into my head.
Yeah, no, that's where I saw it. It was like a
Like, was it when they went to Paris? Who's in Paris?
The Rugrats.
The homies. The homies are in Paris.
Have you guys followed any of the? I know you asked about it before, but the rings of power and all that.
No, trying to keep that.
I also have been avoiding looking at that because Jesus Christ, they just can't help themselves. I wanted to believe that in no way could this be real, but I saw a screenshot from the show where you have like a bunch of people from Gondor or whatever, and they're gathered in the street saying elves will not replace us.
Yeah, no, that screenshot was real.
That was real.
That was real. At least,
holy, you know, shit.
The person I asked confirmed it.
Their jimmies have been wrestled so hard that they still reference that. That's kind of funny.
It's unbelievable how they just can't, like, they can't help themselves. Like everything, like every piece of media has to be injected with some form of obnoxious Charlottesville commentary. Reference. Like, sure, I mean, not necessarily reference to Charlottesville, but just some stupid bullshit, you know, like any of this actually really impacted you, like, Oh, it's just, you know, it's always on my mind, you know, and I think it's important that, you know, we find an outlet to, you know, to spread this emotional trauma to the rest of the world, you know, this
trauma that I faced.
Fuck you, dude. I just want to see fictional, you know, fantasy creatures.
I want to see a black kill queen each other in Lord of the Rings.
I don't care. You know, I don't care about there being black elves. I don't care. But that does bother me. Like, that little, like, that shit does bother me.
Now, you know that it's still something that they think should bother them. Because Joe Biden said it was the reason he was running for president. In his announcement video, he said it was...
What, Charlottesville?
Yeah, the demonstration in Charlottesville that... you know, inspired him to run for president.
So, like, people that listen to our podcast,
I feel like that could be taken the wrong way.
Well, not
dark so. Brandon moment.
Dark Brandon interpretation. Yeah. But the light Biden interpretation is that he was just so appalled by it.
Yeah.
Well, he's just another defecto crap.
It's very so true.
Yeah.
Demon rat. No, we love Biden. We love Biden.
Well, tell us more about your show and your centrism on display.
Oh, we're hack frauds.
Got hacked?
Well, you know,
like when rumors say they got hacked, they just got like a message that said something.
We're just a couple silly guys. We're just a couple silly guys having a good time.
Are you sillier than us?
Yes. Talking about current event, I haven't been putting on the persona because this isn't my show, and I don't want to do that to you because that would be terrible.
It'd be disrespectful.
It would be disrespectful. I'm trying to be real, you know. I'm trying to be real right now. But the show is, it's really just about taking politics and just, you know, having fun with it and not, you know, not taking things too seriously. I mean, you know, sometimes. You know, we're never gonna present information that's false, obviously, and you know, we're never gonna misrepresent the truth to make a joke, and you know, we're never gonna mislead people or, you know, encourage people to commit acts of terror or, you know, anything like that. We like to have a fun time, and we present it from the angle of radical centrism, which is sort of a validation of all ideas coming together and. You know, from the extremes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. The most extreme ideas are oftentimes the correct ones, and they don't always have to conflict. So maybe an example. So we were talking about this. Have you heard about the whole thing going on with the migrants being bussed from, you know, they're going into Texas or Florida, and these Republican governors are bussing them.
Ooh. Right
to New York and DC or whatever, right?
To own the Demoncrats.
Yeah, to own. Yeah,
most recently, we're going to own the whole libs. Thing in Martha's Vineyard, dropping them on the island.
The Democrats came up with an extremely centrist response, which is to just bust them back. just bust them straight back after they get there. And so what you end up with is this kind of like epic war, you know, of hot potato, where you have the Republican and Democrat states trading. Yeah, exactly. And you're just having these migrants perpetually being bussed until it turns into like this quasi version of, like, you ever seen the movie Snowpiercer? Only it's like American, and it's a bunch of migrants on buses continuously just driving around the United States for just in a perpetual, in a perpetual loop.
Yeah, the most
radical that each side funds
take is that we improve the economy by just
keep
creating a niche industry of busing migrants across the country back and forth.
In
they
fact,
don't actually need to. They don't need to take anybody's job.
America will have its first bullet train because of that. Because they just want to make it as efficient as possible.
So, like, you never face
Elon the issue Musk.
Of. You never face the issue of, oh, they're taking our jobs. You never face the cultural displacement argument. It's not even a thing because they're not getting off the bus. So that each side is getting bussed back and forth. So
keep them on the bus.
So, you know, that's so, you know, we would say like, yeah, okay, maybe it was unintentional, but this is a centrist solution and it's based.
The bus ride never ends.
Yes.
Bus ride eternal. Yeah.
You know, if you're tired of just being a Guatemalan or Honduran peasant, you could come to America and just be a bus rider.
Nikkei, you've been on the show twice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your takeaway? What do you
think? Is it better than ours?
Well, I like to keep the kayfabe up on the show. The funniest part to me is the people who don't get it. Like, I love your fans who just don't get it.
Oh, do our fans not? You think our fans don't get it?
Fans who don't know it's a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's people can't detect apparent. Bits.
It's hard, and it's, I mean, that's fair to say it's a bit. Okay, it's hard to keep up a bit for 40 minutes to an hour. It is, but, I guess it's fair to say it's a bit.
Even when you break kayfabe, like, they don't pick up on it.
Well,
there are people who just really think you are presenting ideas of radical centrism unironically.
There's no way.
No, it is
unironic. I swear to God, there are.
To be fair, sometimes we are. I mean, that's the other thing about it is that there are a lot of moments of genuine op onion. But we kind of just bullshit around so that you're not necessarily. You're not necessarily, it's not within your right to know when we're being serious or not.
And that's what makes it fun. Breaking your own rules of the bit.
Yeah. But yeah, that's basically the gist of it.
We are a serious show. We don't do bits.
Oh, I could tell. I know.
Never. But it is true that people can't detect irony, but that's because they're autistic and they need to be put in camps. concentration camps.
No, they need to be weaponized.
They need to be weaponized. They need to learn Python.
They need to be banned from my Discord server for spamming invites to.
Look, stupid. You know for a fact he doesn't know it's a bit. That's who I'm.
I know.
There are others, but he's the worst offender.
He is. Yeah. I don't even know who it is, but I know. It do be
there,
like
there is a
the Doobie Brothers. Doobie Brothers.
It's a very special man out there. I believe in Florida, has a strong commitment to radical centrism.
Yes,
he wrote a manifesto for it.
Yes, he did.
And we gave him input, playing along with the bit outside of the show. You know, just okay. If I was truly trying to come up with something that sounds profound, you know, but I'm just a suit. I would say, and he put it into his manifesto.
He kind of pissed me off too, in that I was also, you know, putting out my own manifesto at the time. And then he comes in and he's like, well, I'm just going to make a longer one. And, you know, mine's going to sound smarter than yours.
Yeah, manifesto mugged you.
He did, you know, but I YouTube mugged him. You know, I audience mugged him. His manifesto
doesn't have an audience in mine. Nothing.
So,
you actually narrated yours.
I did.
He has to struggle with writer's fatigue.
Yeah.
Writer's block, writer's fatigue.
It's okay. We
inspiration.
No, we love him. He's great. He's a great guy.
I don't like
him. He absolutely must stay around.
I don't know who he is, but I don't like
him. We're going to keep him around.
But anyways, any of the homies have anything else to say?
Oh, this has been fun. I've enjoyed this.
This has been fun. And it will be fun. It will always be fun.
Appreciate being able to come on here and naked and be accepted for who I am and the things that I like to do in the privacy of my own bedroom.
And we do accept you, Micah. You're always welcome here.
You know, as a it's nice to mingle with the Wingcucks every once in a while on their platforms.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever been on a Tolerant Left show?
No, I see, that's the problem. It's hard to get on leftist programming because anyone who, you know how it goes, you know, they see centrists as, you know, you, what is it? You cut a centrist and a Nazi bleeds or whatever, something like
ooh,
that.
Ooh, deep.
Yeah.
Well,
so it's tough.
Where can we find it?
What, my channel? TheGrillCast.com,
.net, .org.
Yeah, there is a website. It's terrible. Don't go there. Just go on YouTube, and you can just type in the space GrillCast. And that is one word, GrillCast. And there you will find a myriad of videos, podcasts, and other random content.
Yeah, we'll make sure to include a link in the description of this episode.
We'll include a link.
Yes.
Anywho, I guess we could put a bookmark here, as Richard Spencer once said, but now I say this now. I took it from him. So, praise be to the grill, Cass. Never listened to it. It's probably good.
My griller.
We shield the grill.
Nigger.